Please turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6, verse 14a. Galatians 6, 14a. This afternoon I've entitled what I'm going to say, Reminiscences. That means remembering things in the past. Galatians 6, 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the month of June 1994, Brother Monty Jones, a member of the pulpit committee of the Victory Baptist Church of Kansas City, Missouri, called me on the phone and asked me if I would come and preach in the Sunday services of this church. After preaching for the church on two different Sundays, the pulpit committee asked me to come before the church and preach in view of a call as pastor. The committee interviewed me, asking my views on the doctrines of grace, the doctrine of the church, and eschatology. And it was quite a session. It always makes the preacher nervous. But after all the questions, the meeting concluded, and just before we left, Brother Wayne Maples said, I've got one more question. Do you like baseball? He asked. A little confused. I replied, yes. And he said, good, because I have season tickets to the Kansas City Royals baseball games, and I would like for you to go with me to some of the games. Well, I knew we were going to get along really good after that. The church voted to call me, and I began my 22-year pastorate here on Sunday morning, August 21st, 1994. Today, February 26, 2017, is the last day of my pastorate and the first day of my retirement. In this final service, I want to reminisce about some of the many blessings the Lord has given Lindy and me in these past 22 years. I want to report to you some of the things that have happened over these years that stand out in my memory and for which I wish to give God the glory. So let's think first about some interesting events that have happened here. They've taken place over these years. Just a few of them. In 1997, while the pastor and the deacons were in the pastor study praying for the upcoming morning services, our music director was here behind the pulpit preparing for the day's music. We had a choir in those days, and he was getting all that sheet music ready and everything. A man walked up to him, walked up here on the platform, and he assaulted this man with his fist. And he then turned and he threw $50 bills into the air right here. And then he took his keys and threw them and all the way to the back wall, hit the back wall. And then he walked down the aisle as if to leave. And another of our men, who had not seen what had happened here, reached out to shake hands with this man. And the man then proceeded to assault this man. We ended up having to file a restraining order with the police against this man. On another occasion, Brother Wayne Kemp was preaching in a morning service in one of our annual conferences. And about 10 minutes into the sermon, a stranger in the congregation stood up and said, I want to ask a question. Just interrupted him right in the middle of the sermon. And though the question was irrelevant to the sermon subject, Brother Kemp patiently and politely answered the man, and then he went on with his sermon. About 10 minutes later, this man stood up and again said, I want to ask a question. And this time, Brother Kemp responded very sternly, no, sir, sit down and be quiet. And he did. During these years, our building has been burglarized several times. The most expensive losses were incurred in a burglary in July of 2006 when our computers were stolen and serious damage was done to windows and doors in the fellowship hall. And that damage was so serious that it required us, and this was pre-Kevin Olson days, but it required us to get Service Master to secure our building and seal up the windows. This particular burglary occurred while Lindy and I were visiting our missionary, Brother David Zuers, in Brazil. On one occasion, during a severe thunderstorm, lightning struck our property and took out everything electrical. Computers, air conditioning, heating, electronic gate, church signs, telephones, and this involved tremendous financial cost and inconvenience. But Brotherhood Mutual Insurance covered it all. And if that sounds like a commercial, I want to thank them for doing that. They covered every penny of it. 10 or 12 years ago, there was a taking down of the 80-foot cottonwood tree out here at the rear of our church buildings in order to facilitate the hookup of the Kansas City sewer system. And that was an amazing thing. They brought this big crane out there with some kind of a grinder on the front of it. And I remember Brother Emery Tormanen and I, supervised the project and had a lot of fun doing that. About 4 years ago, at about 3:30 on a weekday afternoon, a car was speeding south out here on Blue Ridge Boulevard, and it crashed into our gate, destroying that electronic gate and the neighbor's fence. And to top it all off, the driver had no insurance and no driver's license. But nevertheless, again, our insurance company covered that costly episode. One Saturday morning, a couple of thieves cut a hole in the fence out on the north side of our property and stole the air conditioning unit that cooled our nursery. And the frightening thing about it was, Lindy and I didn't realize it at the time, but we had come face to face with the thieves that Saturday morning out in the parking lot. One other interesting incident was the hobo jungle that grew up out here in the woods just north of our property about 4 years ago. Vast quantities of cardboard boxes, clothing, and mattresses were accumulated there until we called the police, and they didn't. They were afraid to act. But we had unusual spring rains that year, and it wiped them out. They never came back. Well, next I want to review some miscellaneous blessings the Lord has given us over these years, and there's so many it's difficult to list them all. Number one, the Lord has continually supplied our financial needs as a church. We have never missed the payment of a bill during all these years. That's an amazing thing. The Lord has continually supplied our financial needs. Number two, the work of the committee that rewrote our church constitution in the early years has been a continuing blessing to the church. And, you know, I can't remember everyone that was on that committee, but they made a tremendous, and we've been able to operate smoothly largely because of that, the guidelines of that constitution. Number three, I appreciate the members, and I've been blessed by the members we have who have traveled great distances each week, year after year, just to be here in our services. That, I know that's inspiring to the rest of us. Some of them travel 40, 60, even 100 miles each Sunday. I am grateful for these people. That's been a real blessing to me. Number four, I'm grateful for the goodly number of children and young people that the Lord has continually given us, even though we have had no so-called youth program. I thank the Lord for that. In fact, most people that visit us, especially preachers, even a visitor on a recent Sunday commented on this to me with great delight. He said, "My, first thing I notice is all the children around here." That's a blessing. Number five, I appreciate the way, and I've been blessed by the way, our families sit together as families in Sunday school and worship services. That's been a real blessing to me. You know, the back seats in our church, and this is not pointed at anybody that's sitting on the back seat right now, but the back seats of our auditorium are not a teenage skid row, as is the case in many churches today. Number six, the blessings, the miscellaneous blessings. The upgrades we have been able to make to our physical property over the years has been the generous provision of the Lord through the faithful giving of our people. Some of these upgrades include, but by no means does this exhaust the list, the new computers and accessories that were given in memory of Brother Wayne Maples when the church entered the computer age. I was talking to one of the boys in the church the other night, and he was amazed. He said, "Did you live before they had computers?" And I said, "I was here in the days of DOS." And they didn't know what that meant. Another physical improvement, the electronic gate that we have. What a great convenience that's been. And what a security. That also was given in memory of Brother Wayne Maples. And then the lighted church sign with marquee that cost a fortune, that was donated by some of our people. The paving of the church parking lot, that was a long time ago. There's not but about five or six people still here that remember our gravel parking lot. What a mess that was. I remember one year, the first year or two we were here, during a conference, it rained and everybody tracked all that gravel dust in on the carpet. And our carpets were just really in bad shape. But I'm grateful for that. I'm also grateful for the new carpet that was placed in this throughout the entire facility. That was given as a gift to the church. The new roof on the fellowship hall was done by a contractor with the help of some of our men about 12 years ago. I remember the men involved, but I can't place the date on that exactly, but it was about 12 years. Also, the custom bookshelves. Brother, this was the way to get brownie points with the pastor. The church built custom bookshelves in the pastor's study, and then several years later, they added some more. And that's always been a blessing to me. The painting of the pastor's study in recent years by one of the families in our church. The new tables and chairs that were provided for our fellowship hall have greatly helped with our conference meals and brown bag lunches and fellowship dinners. Another miscellaneous blessing, the two work days we've had every year, all these 22 years, to aid in the upkeep of our property. And these have always involved a lot of participation and cooperation by our people. We could not have maintained this property had it not been for the voluntary work of our people. Number eight, miscellaneous blessing. The blessing of our brown bag lunches each Sunday. You know, a lot of churches don't do this. This has enabled a lot of our people who live a long way away to stay for both services. And actually, we have more people stay for both services now than we did before we started doing this. And these have been times of great fellowship among our members. We've really gotten to know each other through these fellowship or these brown bag lunches. And one thing I remember, and I want to remind you of this, when we were discussing doing this, I wasn't really sold on doing it. I didn't know whether I wanted to do it or not, but some of the men were very persuasive, and so I finally agreed. I said, okay, I'll agree to this with one stipulation, that none of our people will go across the street to Price Chopper or somewhere else to buy food on the Lord's Day when they forget their lunches. And the church agreed to that. As far as I know, with only one or two exceptions, our people have kept this stipulation. Number nine, miscellaneous blessing. Also, the fellowship dinners. We had one today every other month. We began that nearly 20 years ago. Number 10, the cookouts at the pastor's house on a couple of September evenings were truly a blessing. And our neighborhood got pretty dangerous and we had to quit doing that. But those were a blessing. And we had some pictures of that last week here. Number 11, the visitors from Brazil who came to our services on several occasions. I hope you remember that. We had some really good times. Brother and Mrs. Moacir Mania from Osasco, Brazil, and the twin brothers, Leonardo and Lissandro, from that same city. And a bunch of the men got together and took them out to a Royals ball game and some other things. And I asked one of them, what was the best thing you liked in America of everything you did? And he said, Cabela's. Number 12, the production of the church directories about every 2 or 3 years. I hope you still have at least one copy of one of these. We did that about every 2 or 3 years. I had nothing to do with it, but that's been a blessing, and we use those. Now we've got one that we can add pages to, and I doubt if we'll ever have to make one again. Number 13, the publishing of the Premillennial Baptist Journal for 5 years. And the amazing thing is issues of this magazine are still being used around the world on websites and in preachers' libraries. Every once in a while, some preacher will tell me, boy, I use that for reference in my study. Number 14, the many great people who have come and gone from our membership. And I want to mention just a few, and you always get in trouble when you use names, but the Doug Domer family. Do you remember Doug Domer and their family? The Tom Bakers. John Fish. And I've lost track of him. I have no idea where he is. Sam and Carla Perna. Kenny and Vanessa Wright. And Kenan White. You remember him? He's about 6'7" and big old guy and really loved the Lord. That's just a few of them that I remember. Next, the Lord has blessed us with some weddings in our membership during these years. And these include, but don't list all of them, Robin Jones to Scott McDaniel, Jeanette Wren to Todd Jones, Stacy Hilton to Luke Woodward, and Vanessa Weingarten to Kenny Wright. And there are others, but they don't come to mind right away. There were also some deaths during these years, and I want to call the names of these beloved members that have gone to be with the Lord. Doris Rosenberger and Deward Taylor, Alan Groves, Helen Cootsley, Jack Munden, Mary Jo Harris, Emery Tormanen, Virginia Brashears, Jennifer Cecil, Monette Anderson, and Wayne Simmons. That's all that I have record of. I could have missed some, but I keep pretty close records of that. Then there are some things that I said I appreciated those other things, but they were, the classification was supposed to be miscellaneous blessings. Here are some things I deeply appreciate about our church. I deeply appreciate the participation and cooperation of virtually every member of the church through all these years. Think about it. Virtually every member of the church who has been physically able serves the church in some job or position or responsibility. Virtually every member. I deeply appreciate that. And I should have put this one first, but I deeply appreciate our godly deacons who have served our church and who do not see themselves as the board of directors of the church. They see themselves as the servants of the church. And these men have truly served this church. Number 3, I deeply appreciate the men of our church, all the men of our church, who have led their families and worked on work days and other days. I appreciate the trustees under the men there, the trustees who have served diligently and sacrificially to maintain our property. I appreciate the men who have filled in for me when I was gone. I've had preachers tell me, well, I can't go to those conferences like you do because I don't have anybody to fill in for me. We got a whole church full of men who have and who can and have filled in for me. Number four, I deeply appreciate the ladies of our church. Their selfless service at meals and conferences and get-togethers, just to name a few things. Number five, I deeply appreciate the children of our church who help with the cleanup at meals and help on work day. We've had preachers visit and they're just amazed. Well, how do you get these kids to do this? They've never seen children take that kind of responsibility. Number six, I deeply appreciate the way that you as a church have taken care of Lindy and me. And here's what I mean. You have paid me a living wage and you have enabled us to live comfortably because of that. And this certainly conforms to the scriptural teaching in 1 Corinthians 9:14, where the Apostle Paul says, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. I deeply appreciate the financial gifts that you gave us at Christmas time each year. We praise the Lord for that. I deeply appreciate the way the church has allowed me to preach in 127 Bible conferences in these 22 years, for which I only missed two Sundays in doing so. Matter of fact, some of the men told me when we first started that you can be gone for any conference you want to as long as you're here on Sunday. And I only missed two Sundays in 22 years. And I appreciate the church letting me do that. The fact that this church has only had two pastors in the last 54 years speaks well of the church and its care for the pastor. Think about that. I don't know of any other churches that have had two pastors in 54 years. I know Spurgeon's church had three pastors in 160 years. Well, we're not close to that, but for our day and age, that's good. Number seven, I deeply appreciate the one who has printed the church bulletin each and every week for these last 22 and a half years. And I won't use her name, but her initials are Shirley Maples. And Shirley would love to be here today. I talked with her about it, but because of health considerations, she's not able to be here. But she has faithfully done that bulletin, and it is a job all these years. We've never had anybody else. I mean, some have filled in for her on an occasion or two. Number eight, I deeply appreciate the spirit of peace and unity that we have had in our church. Peace and unity. We have had no ugly or contentious business meetings all this time. Anybody disagree with that? We've never had a fight. Our business meetings have been peaceful, and I deeply appreciate that. Next, I will always remember the special relationship we have had with the Bible Baptist Church of Columbus, Nebraska. Now, we call them our sister church, and sometimes we call them our mission, but I deeply appreciate that relationship we've had. Each year, we've been blessed by taking our whole church up there and worshiping with them on Labor Day weekend. And then on Memorial Day weekend, their church has come here to worship with us. Now, we've switched that a couple of times, but that's the way it was supposed to start, supposed to be. I believe this relationship is unique among churches that I know anything about. Never known of any other church doing this. Who could forget that day that the rope broke during the tug of war on BBC Day? And it sent all the men sprawling on the ground, all the boys sprawling on the ground. That memory always brings a smile to me when it comes to mind. And we got that on tape. We got that on film, by the way. I know we all appreciate the new restrooms and the door to the blue room that Pastor Robert Walker and his church have provided for us. Not only did they enable us to pay for that, they came down and did it themselves, a lot of it themselves. But now, I want to reminisce about the most important things. I remember the most important things I remember over these past 22 years. Number one, I remember and I will always rejoice in the fact that a good number have been saved in connection with our church. You know, it's few and far between, we think, but when you look back and count them up, it's a lot of people. The Lord has saved many of our husbands and children and friends during this year. Our church has baptized 44 persons during these years. The first was Deward Taylor, and the last was Peter Olson. And I've had the high privilege of baptizing every member of the Olson family during these years. That's something that most preachers don't, that's a blessing most preachers don't have. I also remember Emory and Marilyn Tormanen submitting to believers' baptism when they, after they had retired, they were 65 years old. And it takes Christian humility to submit to believers' baptism when you've been a Christian for many years in another denomination. The Lord has added 86 members during this same period of time. A great blessing under that heading was the public repentance of one whom our church had disciplined. You don't see that a lot of times. But this person repented and came before the church. I deeply appreciate that. Number three, the Wednesday night prayer meetings have brought joy and encouragement to me year after year. I have often commented on the way home on Wednesday evenings, what a blessing that service was to me. The tests that I gave the men over the sermons during the prayer time, each of those were a great blessing to me because most of the time all the questions were asked. The Lord has answered many prayers that we have prayed as a church. In answer to our prayers, God has saved our loved ones, added new members, met our financial needs, healed our sicknesses, and solved our problems, all in answer to prayer. Just two examples of such answers to prayer must suffice. Years ago, we lost our church musicians, and we had no one to play the instruments in our services for just a little under a year. Now, can you imagine going to church and singing a cappella for a little under a year? But the church began to pray. We began to seriously pray. And we continued long in prayer until the Lord answered. And my friends, He is still answering. Since that time, we have had an abundance of musicians and accompanists. You think about them, pianists, organists, violinists, cellists, violists, I guess that's what you call a viola player. The Lord answered that prayer. And the other example of the Lord's answer to our prayers was some years ago when the city of Kansas City decided to force us to hook onto the city sewer system. And we were doing just fine. We'd been here many years since 1952 on a septic tank, but they decided we needed to be on the sewer line. And for the quote-unquote privilege of doing so, we were initially charged $30,000. Well, the church didn't have it. But we began to pray. And it wasn't long before, first of all, you know, the Lord answers in unusual ways. First thing that happened was they cut the price to $19,000. So now we only needed to raise $19,000. And then, and this came about fairly quickly. A relative of one of our church members died and left $19,000 to that church member. And that member gave that $19,000 to the church in order to enable us to pay that bill. Number four, we've been blessed with wonderful Sunday school studies through the years, covering such topics as the Book of Revelation, the Gospel, the Cults, Pilgrim's Progress, Gleanings in the Apostles, just to name a few. Number five, most of our people These are things I deeply appreciate, the things that are most important. Most of our people have read the Bible through each year. Some of them reading it through for the first time. What a blessing. This is a pastor's dream. Number six, for the past 7 years, we've been blessed with the Saturday morning ladies' Bible study. And many of you have availed yourselves of that great time. Number seven, one of the greatest things I remember about these years at Victory is our emphasis on missions and missionaries. Ours is truly a missionary church. For many years, we gave over 27% of our gross receipts to support missionaries directly. The outstanding missionary conference we held, in which seven of our missionaries at the time preached, all of them came home from their foreign fields, and they all of them preached two sermons apiece on missions. And we got to know all of them personally. Many of you are still friends with some of those you met back there in those years. Some of our missionaries through the years have included our beloved Calvin Gardner in Catanduva, Brazil, Brother Dave Zuers in Fortaleza, Brazil, Brother Ted Tweet in Honduras, Brother John Hawkins in Manaus, Brazil, Brother Paul Brown in Thailand, Brother Tom Montgomery in Mexico City, and there are several others beside that. Over the years, several of our members have traveled to our various mission fields to observe the work of our missionaries. In 1998, Brother John Cecil, Don Hendricks, Rachel Justice, and the pastor visited Calvin Gardner's work in Brazil. Lindy and I were privileged to make seven different trips to Brazil to work with all three of our missionaries who served there. In 2001, Brothers David Anderson, Sean Baker, Monty Jones, and the pastor visited missionary Dan Roten in the back country of Mexico. And there's a picture of these four men hanging back there in the blue room off of the fellowship hall. We all had our cowboy hats on, and we were really cool in those days. One day on that trip, we were doing door-to-door evangelism, and we were up on the side of a hill, and a group of people came out of a house there and started throwing large rocks at us. And two of us were hit. And we later learned that, and we ran, but we later learned that the local Catholic priest had told these people to do that because we were of the devil, he said. This was in a little village in the mountains called Olla del Durazno. I can never forget the name of that town because of what happened there. That word, that name, Olla del Durazno, means the bowl of the peaches. And it must be a volcanic crater or something because it's the little village is down inside of a bowl-shaped depression in the mountains there. Well, in 2001, I traveled to Honduras to visit the excellent work of our missionary Ted Tweet in that country. Number eight, another of the most important things I remember about these past two decades is our annual Sovereign Grace Bible Conference. Maybe this is one of the biggest things that we do. The Lord has enabled us to have 35 of these conferences, 22 since I have been here. And this is one of the most blessed, as I said, and important things our church has done. In these conferences, we've been privileged to hear some of God's choice preachers from many different states every year. The preaching, teaching, studying, and discussions of God's Word that were involved are ongoing blessings to many people around the world. We have published some of the sermons in these conferences as books, and these books have been translated into several languages and distributed around the world. Just this week, I received an email from a lady who was concerned about a matter involved in one of these conference sermons, and she has been sent an internet link to one of the sermons in the conference. She was disturbed about the rise of neo-Calvinism. You can believe the doctrines of grace, but deny that the law of God applies to the Christian today, and deny that sanctification is an ongoing process and still be a Christian. That's what they teach. And so Brother Daniel Chamberlain preached a sermon on that, and he really dealt with it. And I was able to refer her to that sermon. Themes in these conferences included such timely topics as the church growth movement, creation, Bible prophecy, Isaiah 53, the church, revival, modern day false gospels, the dangers of hyper-Calvinism, and God's wonderful written word. We've been blessed to have Brother David Howard from the University of Oklahoma to lead our music in most of these last 22 conferences. Wonderful, inspiring music has been provided by our own organist, pianists, and other instrumentalists, plus people, instrumentalists from other churches and states, including violins, saxophones, cornets, trombones, violas, and cellos. One reason I believe the Lord has so blessed these meetings was the pre-conference prayer meetings we had each year. The Lord more than answered our prayers in all of these conferences. Number 9, I must not fail to mention our sermon audio outreach under Brothers Olson and Anderson. I will always remember and praise the Lord for our sermon audio outreach, in which the weekly sermons and the conference sermons, as well as the Sunday school lessons on Pilgrim's Progress, have been sent out around the world. And videos have also been a part of this work. This has been an amazing outreach for Christ by our little church. Through the ministry of of the sermon audio ministry, thousands of sermons have been downloaded by people in over 100 countries around the world, many of whom live in communist, Catholic, and Muslim countries. But we've also had some disappointments along the way during these years, and that's the way life is. God in His providence allows the rain to fall for us to profit from them. There was some turbulence in the church during the first 2 years. But all those people are long gone, and the Lord's work here continues. Our hearts were broken over 2 divorces within our membership. Some of our people moved to other churches and other cities. My greatest disappointment in these years is those 9 people, mostly young people, that attend our services and yet have not repented of their sins, believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, and profess faith in Him by submitting the scriptural baptism. And I leave here today with a heavy heart for these people. I dearly love these people, and I have a heavy heart because I want to see them again in heaven someday. Now, just a word about the future of Victory Baptist Church. I believe this church has a bright future. I believe the Lord will lead this church to the right man for the job of pastor. I have full confidence in the men who serve as the pulpit committee to search for a new pastor. And I look forward to hearing in the not-too-distant future that the church has called a new pastor and is effectively carrying out the great commission of our Lord to make, baptize, and teach disciples. I look forward to hearing that the church is continuing to stand for the doctrines of God's sovereign grace, the historic Baptist view of the strong local church, closed communion, the premillennial return of Christ, the use of the King James Version of God's Word, the secessionist view of the gifts, and all the other precious doctrines that we have held so dear. These, then, have been just some of the wonderful blessings God has given us here at Victory Baptist over the past 2 decades. And the glory for all these things must not go to a man, not even to the church, but to our Lord Himself. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10:17, "He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And I want to close this afternoon by reciting the words of our dear old hymn, "To God be the glory, great things He hath done." Let us pray. Now, Father, we're thankful today as we think back about the history of this church and the blessings you've given us in these many years. We're thankful for every member of this church. We're thankful for the souls that we've seen saved and those we've seen follow Christ in baptism and those who have joined the church to stand with us here. We pray that you'd give this church the man that you have for them. May they trust in you and follow the leading of your Holy Spirit in calling a pastor. And we look forward to hearing that they stand true and carrying on the work of Christ in this part of the world. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.